Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Once again, back in the house, you are talking with TD. I appreciate each of you for logging on to check us out. Man, I didn't get to holler at you guys last week. Had a couple other things on the docket, but no doubt, my guys Chase and Calvin filled in admirably. Now I'm back. And wow, there's a lot to go over. Obviously, we didn't get to talk about the Chiefs game. We'll touch on that a little bit. We're going to swap out the play breakdowns for draft season because that's what's coming upon us now that the season's over. Special guest for you. We got my guy, man, Riedel Anthony, trainer extraordinaire, not just for wide receivers, for offensive linemen, for outside linebackers, cornerbacks, you name it, for football players. Riedel's going to come on and talk a little shop. Special guest there. And then he's actually working with one of the guys that's probably going to run the fastest time at the combine, and that's none other than Henry Ruggs III. I told you guys we were starting off with a bang. So that's what we're going to do. We'll talk a little shop there. I'm going to give you guys a few nuggets from the Senior Bowl that I was able to gather as well. So definitely stay tuned, but kicking things off right away, we want to just kind of look back because you can't really tell how far you've come unless you say where you've come from. So I think this Titans team is going to go far next year, so let's talk about where they came from. And that was the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. Man, definitely a tough loss. I really thought for a second, Calvin, I thought for a second that this team, you know, I was really thinking like, wow, I'm about to pack some shorts, polos, and I'm going to sip a non-alcoholic beverage with a slice of fruit on the edge of it and, you know, just have some fun in Miami. That wasn't the case, but the Titans did exactly what we said they would do as far as jumping out to an early lead, right? That was their way of punching the Chiefs in the mouth, right? That was their way of defusing whatever plan it was that they apparently had. And they got off to that lead. That first half, right, Derrick Henry had, 62 rushing yards, I believe it was. He was on course for another 100-yard rushing game, and everything was looking good up until that final play, right? One of the final plays the Chiefs had in the first half, and that was an example of what really broke down for the Titans, right? When you look at Pat Mahomes, man, you talk about a multi-talented quarterback. This guy was able to break the pocket. They had the rush. They flushed him out of the pocket to the left. I think it was it Roberson? I think it was Roberson that had a chance to bring him down. And then Rashawn Evans had a chance. And then he managed to stay in bounds and he fought through the attempt by Tremaine Brock to tackle / punch the football out, and that put the Chiefs ahead for good. And it was kind of at that moment where you saw life really be in flux back into Arrowhead Stadium, because I tell you, initially that place was very quiet, especially for a place that is up there as far as going against Seattle and New Orleans for the loudest stadiums in the NFL. It was really quiet. But what really happened? It's pretty simple. And this is why as we get into draft season, it is absolutely imperative that they get a dog up front. Someone that will not be blocked one-on-one. Someone that will fight through double teams as well. And that's no slight on the guys that they have up front now. I just think they need that absolute animal up there to be able to wreak havoc. Because here's what happened. They dropped 7 into coverage, right? And they were trying to get home with the front four, but the front four wasn't getting home. Every single time they got near Pat Mahomes, he was able to get out of the pocket and either buy time to give the receivers an opportunity to uncover or break off a run. I mean, there were third and longs where they had everything covered. I would hope they did have everything covered. They had seven men in protection. But Mahomes was able to break off the run and run for a first down and step out of bounds, and you didn't even get to hit him. I've been talking about this since 2011 and even before then. It is so utterly frustrating for a defense when they have everything covered and the quarterback just makes a play and you don't even get to put a hit on him to punish him for making that play. That's, whew. Watch the defense after something like that happens, man. You talk about shoulders down, breathing heavy, heads down. Like that's, it's deflating. And then when you talk about guys like Mecole Hardman, but more in this case, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins. It just, they started to stretch the field horizontally, and that's what made the Titans use more guys in coverage. And next thing you know, it just wasn't working anymore. Initially, the plan was working. They were, you know, able to get to Holmes. Kamale Correa had a sack. By the way, six of his last eight games in a Titans uniform, he had sacks. Two in the playoffs. Kamale Correa had the sack, and they were able to get pressure, right? And they were able to get home, and things seemed to work. But then Andy Reid changed it up. I personally feel like he got off of the script, and he began to make the adjustments. And that's when you saw Tyreek Hill get moved around a little bit. That's when you saw them use motion to get the matchup that they wanted and then have the protection, the route combo, right, to get the coverage to go away from Tyreek Hill. And that's how Tyreek Hill had the touchdown against Logan Ryan, who's going to be that's a free agent decision that's going to be a tough one, right? Actually wrote about that. You could check it on ESPN.com. I took a look at some of the free agents, right? I tiered it into must re-sign, close calls, and then depth guys. Obviously, didn't go over all 22, but one of them is Logan Ryan. And the Chiefs were able to find a way to get him in coverage against Tyreek Hill without safety help over top. The route on the outside drew the safety, and anytime, I don't care who it is, if I'm a quarterback and I see Tyreek Hill out there, and I don't care who the corner is over top of him, but if there's no safety help, hey, we're going to check that thing up. I'm going to just throw the ball as far as I can. Just, hey, Tyreek, just go get it, man. Go get it. And that's basically what they did. And that touchdown, that made it, what, 17-14, I believe it was? It was 17-14 at that point. And, yeah, the floodgates started to open. The Titans did the best they could to stay in it. I'll give them credit. You know, Dean Pease in his last, man, that hurt too, man. Coach Pease retiring. Jeez. Yeah, that was a painful one, man, because Coach Pease was awesome to talk to every Thursday to get the insight and just purposely I would ask him about the opposing team's top offensive player or even quarterback. We all did it. And just to hear him just – kind of like, oh, man, that guy, just get into it, what he does. It was really cool. But Dean Pease in his last game, I think he you know, he did what he could as a play caller, but you could only do so much when you have a quarterback doing what Patrick Mahomes was able to do. So 404 total yards, 35 points, you know. It was tough for that Titans team to get things going. Offensively, obviously, you know, Chris Jones was just – he was a huge factor. Derrick Henry, he had three carries in the second half. It's kind of tough to win when, you know, you have that going. But there were other things that factored into that. I mean, this guy was not able to get ahead of steam going towards the line of scrimmage, which is something that was happening for them before. But – Chris Jones just came ready to play. Frank Clark, he talked a lot of crap. He had four tackles in the game. I'll give him credit. His presence was felt, though. So you look at that, and that daggone Daniel Sorensen. Man, let me tell you. I came away from that game really impressed with him. That guy is an outstanding tackler, man. And you could see why they use him in the box. Obviously, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, did what he did as far as being a factor. He came up and made some tackles as well. And then the corners on the outside. I'll tell you, I talked to Breshad Breeland, man, and I told him I felt the Titans were going to win that matchup on the outside, but it didn't happen. So I tip my cap to Breeland. Tre'Varius Ward, obviously a local guy, you know, MTSU, got to tip your cap to him as well. They did their thing, and now the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. So just wanted to kind of give you some of my takes on that game. I would definitely encourage you to understand and believe that the arrow is pointing up. They just need that impact pass rusher. That's what they need on that defense. Wouldn't hurt to have another road runner on the outside. And we have a guy that, if he falls, I definitely think he will be a good receiver to take. I don't think he falls to the Titans because speed kills. So we're going to get Henry Ruggs in here, the third in here a little bit later. But what I want to do first is go to his trainer. This is a personal one for me. As I said, Redell Anthony is you know, a guy who I'm very fond of Redell Anthony. So we're going to go to a break. Before we do, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Talking with TD. It's good for you. It's good for me. Let's get that 5-star rating. Subscribe. Do all the things that you need to do in order to hear this show. We have an awesome lineup coming for you. Definitely did a lot of work down there at the Senior Bowl, made some connections, and we'll keep working it. We want to bring you unique content. So we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back with just that.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
So you know what we do, draft season, talking with TD. We have to bring you that exclusive, unique content. I like to get you behind the scenes so you can understand what it is that goes into these guys before you see them at the combine and before you see them doing the things that they do in the NFL. One of the positions I always like to focus on is wide receiver. And I tell you, when you go into the league, like, it's tough to just go into the league and have an impact. So one of the best ways that you could do that is to have someone that has been there and done that. I am extremely excited to bring in a guy. Now, folks, when I played in college, we ran the Florida Gators offense, right? And, you know, the guy that I would always watch was number 15. And that's who we're going to bring in, Redell Anthony, wide receiver extraordinaire, Florida Gators Hall of Famer. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Thank you for that intro. I mean, you blowing me up bigger than life. And I appreciate that, because I am a has-been, but I'm just trying to fight to stay on top, you know. But I appreciate that intro.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm so we called it five semi, the two curls on the outside, the flat curl on both sides. We used to run five semi, A7 for me, and I would run that seven route. You know what I mean? And it always led to a big play. And a lot of times, like I said, playing that A position, I was watching you and some of the other guys, you know, whether it's Jaquez, Ike Hilliard, et cetera. But I want to get into what you're doing now. And I know you're training a lot of the receivers. You've trained receivers. Can you let my listeners know just basically what's going on with you now and what it is that you're breeding?
Now, I have transitioned to, you know, they're passing on my lifelong skills and, you know, things I've learned over my years of, you know, playing this great game of football. And right now I'm in the process of doing, you know, the combine training, which is blown up to just a multi-million-dollar week. For the NFL Network, and all the people that, you know, participate in it. And with that comes a lot of responsibility because I'm in a position to impact a lot of young men's life on and off the field, you know, because we just don't do the athletic part of the training. You know, we, you know, have a lot of mental meetings, just life, just staying alive, and just what expect what's coming next, you know, with the move up to the NFL. And, you know, on the field, we're working all of the drills that all the, you know, NFL teams, general managers, whoever want to see, from the L drill, 5-10-5, and, you know, the most exciting drill, you know, the 40-yard dash. And, you know, that those are things that, you know, the people want to see, the teams, whoever. And we have to, you know, like I tell my guys, we have to do this. You know, it's like, you know, when we were in high school, you took some classes, you know, I can remember, you know, taking a few classes that I don't even utilize none of that stuff I learned, but I had to do it. So this is something they have to do. So we're going to prepare for it as if, you know, it's a Super Bowl or a national championship game, because we only have one opportunity to go out and put on a show for the viewers around the world. And, you know, that's what I'm here, you know, 5-6 days a week, spending countless hours with these young men, knowing that I have opportunity to change their life for, you know, the better or worse. And it's only going to be better with me. I don't think, you know, in a negative way. And I've been very fortunate to come across some exceptional young men that not only, you know, I helped them prepare, but, you know, they've helped me fill that void that, you know, you lose when you stop playing a game and you stop going to the locker room and being around your teammates, you know, not being around these young men and watching them grow and do the things I've done, and some of them even better. Like I tell them, I get more enjoyment out of seeing a smile on their face and them accomplish anything than anything I've ever done in my life, because it was easy for Riedel to prepare for Riedel, but now Riedel has to prepare to get someone else to execute their game plan.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You know what's so interesting to me is going back to what I mentioned, Ike Hilliard, Quez Green, yourself. You guys all got into coaching. Like, all of you guys are coaching. Was there something that, is there a common theme with the three of you guys? Because it's not often that you have, you know, basically a squad. And even Nafis, Kareem, because I remember, you know, he came up north to Cheney University, and he was going to work with the receivers after I worked with him. So what is it? Like, what was going on there?
We were all just football guys. Played a lot of video games together. Student other games. We took pride in learning what everyone's responsibility, from the O-line to the quarterback, you know, whomever. And that's probably one of the reasons we got into, you know, coaching and training, because, you know, we actually love learning what was going on around us and learning the game of football. And, well, Jacquez was just a walking sports almanac. Like, he could tell you, you know, some stats on some people that you never really even heard of, but he knew about them. I just took everything in. He didn't say much, but you knew he knew everything. And, you know, I was just, you know, split down the middle of those two. You know, I know my sports, not to the level of Jacquez. And, you know, like I just was excited about learning all kind of stuff, but I just probably spoke out more than those other two. So that's how we, you know, all three of us kind of got along and, you know, fit that puzzle together.
One of the things that you did better than pretty much anyone that I've seen, and I always would study it, and it amazed me, you were outstanding when it came to tucking and running after that deep ball, but then shooting your hands at that last moment so you didn't lose speed and you're able to run through the catch on those deep passes. That yeah. always is something that I used to say, like, man, that guy 15, he got the go-go gadget arms. You know what I mean? It just always stood out to me. What are some of the things that you've tried to, like, specifically as far as the position is concerned that you've tried to impart to the receivers that you're working with? And I know you're working with more than just receivers, but I wanted to just touch on that part first.
Just the basics. Believe it or not, is a very technical and fundamentally sound type person. I pay great attention to the small details, so you let the small details go by a little bit at the beginning or at any point, they always evolve into something big. So, you know, we pay attention to the small details. And one thing about, you know, the receiver position, I always want my guys to play fast, you know, have fun and make plays. And that just comes with having a level of confidence and knowing what to do and how to do it. But right now, we're focusing on, you know, everyone. You win 85% of your routes against the defensive back in off coverage in your first three steps. Because if you come off the ball and the first three steps are hard and they look the same every time, first three steps every time, they don't know what you're running.
Yeah.
So we're focusing on small things like that, winning before people even know that they're beat. And, you know, focusing on licking the ball in. They're going from college where they possibly were getting, let's say, in a day's practice, probably, you know, 15 to 20 catches. Now, NFL level, beginning of training camp, they may get 4 catches in a week. So, you know, we focus on working on your craft away from, you know, getting all the reps with the 7-on-7 of the team. You know, like looking the ball into the tuck, over-exaggerating little things like that. You know, when the ball is coming, you know, reach for the ball. Let's not drop our hands, then reach up and catch. It's just a lot of wasted movement in that move. So we're just focusing on little things that if we can get those right, now every player ability will take over after that.
And you're obviously working with one of the top prospects at the receiver position in Henry Ruggs. But who are some of the other guys that you have down there that you're working with, so these listeners could understand, you know, your net scans beyond just the receiver position?
Right now we have receiver wise, we have Austin Mack out of Ohio State, George Campbell transferred West Virginia, defensive back wise, we have. Noah, I cannot pronounce his last name. I'm not even going to butcher it. kid out of Auburn.
Okay.
I'm not even going to butcher his name. Yeah, that'd just be bad on my part, and I know it. We have Jordan Elliott out of Missouri. We have a small school tight end kid, a young man, Nigel Kelly out of Southern Illinois. Trying to think. We have 17 guys in our program, and 11 are going to the combine. So we've been blessed this year to keep our numbers low like we always try to do, but get, you know, quality young men and players in here that are getting invitations to the combine and show that, you know, we're giving them as much attention they need. We're not watering down our system of what we do. Me and my homeboy, co-worker, Yo Murphy,
there you go.
Partner, is me and him every day spending countless hours with these, you know, these players and not wanting to just have too many and not be able to engage with everyone. So that's what we hold our hat on, just being personable and, you know, giving everybody that equal and value.
Yeah, That makes sense. Now, Noah, it's my producer, Max, hooked it up here. It's Noah Igbinoghene. That's how. So maybe could call him like the Sixers did Iguodala, Iggy. You know what I mean? That might
Iggy.
Be what.
I definitely make his nickname, his last name a nickname, but I don't think his parents are too excited about that. So I just lay off even butchering their last, and they don't need them coming looking for me.
There you go. And before we let you go. Obviously, you know, Nashville is an area where there's a lot of, it breeds a lot of talent, right? Van Jefferson, for example, there are plenty of guys. But if any of the listeners out there, if you guys want to get with Riddell and Yo Murphy, two guys who played in the league, Riddell spent time with the Buccaneers and with the Redskins. If you want to get with these guys, Riddell, how can they get with you? What's the best, option to get information about what you're doing?
That's, Instagram, it's Riddell Anthony, I think 15, my Twitter, the same, I think so. So any of those two, media outlets, just send me a message and I'll definitely get back with you, as soon as possible, because we're right now in the transition of building a new facility and changing names, so emails and all kind of things are a little bit different. But my social media will stay the same because I can't change that because I don't remember the password, so I can't log out of it.
Well, I tell you another way. Anybody listening, you get with me, tdavenport_NFL. Y'all know how to reach me, Teron.Davenport@ESPN.com, and I will make sure that you can get with one of the best. Riddell, we appreciate you. Definitely going to keep in touch, as we always do, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds great.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Yeah. Tony Montana. Normally, we have this segment, Calvin's Corner. So just as a shout-out to Calvin's Corner, which is going to be on the Chase and TD show this week, I wanted to play some riding music. You know that's what Calvin likes. Or it sounds like that's the soundtrack to going to do something bad. It seems like those are the soundtracks for Calvin's Corner. But before we give you the Henry Ruggs interview, I just want to kind of touch on some of the things with the Senior Bowl. There were a lot of guys that really stood out down there. Just to follow up on what Riddell Anthony said, he had a couple guys down there, and we're going to have them on the show. Alex Turner, the big tackle from SC State, and Trayon Hill, outside linebacker from Miami. We're going to get those guys on at some point. But those guys are training with Riddell Anthony down there in Tampa. So shout out to Riddell for having some guys at the Senior Bowl. And I tell you, there are various positions at the Senior Bowl that definitely stood out. I'm just going to kind of go by North team and South team and just mention some guys that I thought were impressive. And first off, Troy Pride Jr. from Notre Dame. I almost said Indiana. I don't know why I said that. But from Notre Dame, he was someone who competed, man. And I really like his ability to mirror receivers. He stood out in some of those drills, as far as like, not drills, but the reps and one-on-ones. That was a guy. And there were a few corners that definitely stood out. I think a lot of people talked about Lamar Jackson out of Nebraska. I think he's more of a safety. He's a guy I could see playing safety. So obviously that's not a standout from the Titans' perspective. But when you look at other players down there, we know that the trenches is a spot where this Titans team, you know, on the edge especially, that's something that they have to address. So Josh Uche, he's going to be on here talking with TD. He is someone, 6'2", 250. I actually reposted a video from D-Line Vids on Twitter. You could check that out on my timeline. Gumby-like ability. He is able to fold himself and run that arc so well. And he was giving offensive linemen all kinds of trouble. And then if you watch the game, Uche and Bradley and I, another guy who stood out all week, those two were like in the huddle. They're saying, hey, listen, man, I'll meet you at the quarterback. That's basically what I'm going to meet you at Jalen Hurts. And they just were coming from both sides. They gave those offensive linemen all types of work. And Uche is a guy, really nice hands. Like I said, 6'2", so he's able to naturally stay low and come off that edge. And 8.5 sacks at Michigan, I think he's someone to definitely watch out for. I'm not sure first round, second round. I think second round probably, but you never know, man. Pass rushers come at a – like people fall in love with them. They fall in love with him, and that's a premium position. So, who knows? He could sneak into that bottom part of the first round. But another guy, Bradley Anae, when you look at him, he stood out. He's just all motor. But he did have a nice up and under. He's able to combine moves. I thought it was really cool in the Senior Bowl, the actual game itself, when he came off the edge against that Oregon tackle, he used a move that is so familiar. And if you're watching my videos on Twitter, is familiar to you as well. It's that double chop. And that's something that Shane Bowen really, really emphasizes working with the outside linebackers. And he used it. I thought that was pretty cool. He does a really good job coming off that edge as well. High motor guy. He's going to be good against the run also. Heavy handed. He's at 265, I believe it is. Nice size, 6'3", 6'4", somewhere in that neighborhood. So he's someone else that stood out. I think he's someone that is on the Titans' radar. He told me that he met with them. We're working to get him on the show as well. So those are a couple guys from the edge perspective. I'm just kind of running through the roster here and just looking at some of the other guys that stood out. Matt Hennessy, if you want to get that center slash guard, he's one that they could definitely go to. I think he could come in and help, not initially, but it's really going to come down to what is it that you're going to do with Ben Jones. I think Ben Jones should still be the starter, at least for the next year or two. Josh Jones out of Houston is the guy I've seen projected to the Titans in the first round. Now, here's the thing with him. It's all going to depend on what happens with Jack Conklin. You know, so I think free agency is really something to watch. That is going to dictate a lot. As with all teams, you know, as far as what happens in the draft. Looking at the North team, okay, quarterback-wise, Jordan Love. Jordan met with John Robinson. So what does that tell you? There's definitely interest. Now, I was on the sideline during the first two practices standing next to Frank Wright. I'm going to tell you this much. Jordan Love is going to mess around and be a Colt. Because Frank Wright had his eyes on him like those turkey vultures had their eye on roadkill, man. And it's also been rumored that the GM, Chris Ballard, likes him too. Jordan Love, I said it on Twitter, plutonium-level potential. And Calvin and I were talking a little bit about this. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I think we need to get that out of your mind because Patrick Mahomes is his own creature. Right. And that's not to say this guy I'm going to compare him to is not his own creature also. But I think there's more similarities between these two. That's Deshaun Watson. And the thing is, Jordan Love, you got the quick release. You got the throwing with anticipation. You have the ability to break the pocket and you know, make plays there. I think they are very similar as far as playing style. Now, Watson has that mindset. You know, I'm going to take this moment actually to mention Kobe Bryant. Watson has that Mamba mentality mindset. And, you know, rest in peace to all nine people on that plane that helicopter that passed away. But I think Watson is one of those guys that could carry on Kobe's legacy as far as that never quit, never defeated mindset. So, is that something that Jordan Love has? That's what I want to determine. We're going to do a lot of work with him, and we'll try to find that out. But he's definitely a guy that should be on your radar. Obviously, you know, the 17 interceptions is a number that, wow, it's definitely something to be cautious of. I will point you to the year before where he only had 5 interceptions, right? And I will also tell you this, a lot of people from that 18 team were gone, including the coaching staff, to that 19 team. So there are some things that you know, were different. And I just challenge you to look beneath the numbers and actually, you know, look at the previous year for a guy like Jordan Love. But there's a lot of guys. I'm going to kind of speed through this. Antonio Gandy-Golden is another one, the wideout from Liberty. Ironically, he worked with Maurice Harris, who also worked with A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. AGG is what they call him. He told me that Maurice Harris showed him a lot of A.J. Brown film as something to study as far as being a route runner and also yards after the catch. He stood out, too, a bigger receiver. He definitely is a guy. Courtney Davis, we're going to work to have him on, too. AGG, we're going to work for that, too. Those are two guys that I think we're going to be able to get. But Courtney Davis, routes. He's an outstanding route runner. Very smooth. So he's someone else. He reminds me actually of a Geronimo Allison that plays for the Packers. Bryson Hopkins, the tight end from Purdue, that's another guy that stood out. He and one of the safeties from Notre Dame, man, they had battles. They really had a lot of battles. So those are some guys. I mean, I could name you more, but those were guys in particular that popped out to me as I breezed through the roster. We're going to, for the interest of time, we're going to kind of flow through the South team. Dane Jackson, the Pittsburgh corner. Now, I talked to him. He lined up mostly on the outside, but he has some ability to pop inside and play there, right? He could be a possible Logan Ryan type. He has that willingness to stick his nose in there. And one of the things is you always – Pittsburgh players, right? I'm talking about guys that were bred, that grew up in Pittsburgh. They have a different degree of grit to them. And he's a Pittsburgh guy. I think he's someone that should definitely be on the Titans' radar. Just kind of flowing through a little bit more. Marlon Davidson, he went down. He had a foot injury from Auburn. But I think he could be a match for the Titans as well. He could give you, you know, some interior reps. He could also play outside. So that's someone to watch. Who else stood out as we flow through? Javon Kinlaw, obviously. But I don't think he's going to be there when the Titans pick. So we'll kind of overlook him, but he dominated down there. Terrell Lewis, that's another one, a talking with TD candidate. You're talking about a long guy. Now, he dealt with some injuries in Alabama, so you never really got to see the full potential, but he's someone I could see at that bottom half, that bottom part, you know, at 29, 28, wherever the Titans are picking, 29, 30, wherever it is. I could see him being a guy that's on their radar there, and like I said, it's the length. That's something that he brings to the table. And I saw him just kind of get into some of those offensive linemen and use that length and the long arms to punch them first and turn them and then rip and get to the quarterback. So keep your eye on him. Cameron Brown is another one. You know, a lot of people talk about Isaiah Simmons, and rightfully so. But Cameron Brown is in that same type of positionless football player mold. He's a guy that if you go on footballgameplan.com, you'll see a lot of stuff with Cam Brown. That's someone that Emery told me, and he's going to be a guest on Talking with TD, Chase and TD's show. He'll be a guest. But he did some work with him, so he's someone to watch. Just continuing to breeze through this. Rodrigo Blankenship. Hey, listen, I text Calvin on, was that Wednesday? I sent him a text, and I said, hey, man, I just got Blankenship's number. And he laughed, and I said, hey, look, man, we don't leave any stones unturned. The kicker. Right? He was booming him. He missed a 42 daggone yarder in the Senior Bowl, though, in the game itself. So I had to get that right. But you got the triumphant, too, right? The trio, the three amigos from Vanderbilt, Kalijah Lipscomb, Jared Pinkney, Keyshawn Vaughn. They're all going to be on this show. Vaughn was out after the first day, but Lipscomb definitely showed his footwork, his catching ability. Pinkney had a solid week also. So those are some guys. Eno Benjamin out of Arizona State. I think he's very similar to Deion Lewis, actually. A smaller guy, but really runs behind his pads, but gives you nice reps as far as catching the ball out of the backfield, can line up at receiver for you too. So that's a name to watch. Harrison Bryant, I think, is a little rich for the Titans' blood as far as the tight end's concerned, but I've heard comparisons from talking to scouts to George Kittle, you know, just as far as the ability to create with his routes, the blocking ability, and also just, you know, yards after catch. So he is a name to watch. Mention a few receivers. I know Brandon Ayuk is a guy that you mentioned, Calvin. He's someone to definitely watch. We didn't get to see him down there because he was hurt, but you had the Texas duo, both of which we're going to have on the show. Colin Johnson, 6'6", folks. At that size, he still runs outstanding routes. I saw him put a route on Dane Jackson, almost make Dane fall. Dane was able to recover, but, man, at 6'6", to get in and out of his breaks the way he does, that was really impressive. Devin Duvernay is a guy I've been very high on, a speedster, talking about 10-2-7. 6A state champion in Texas. Yes, we are talking about a sprint champion in Texas. So you know he has speed to burn. Over 100 catches, I believe it was 10 touchdowns. He's another guy that's pretty interesting. I think he could help in the special team side of things right away. Van Jefferson, Nashville's finest routes. He actually is Stephon Diggs-like. That's what I saw when I was watching him all week. And that's what came to my mind, just the smoothness in his routes, just the ability to, you know, snap. He was running go routes, and he would just, you just hear, pow, pow, and you see him snap back towards the sideline to run that comeback route, man. It was beautiful watching him run those. So he's someone that definitely be on the radar. Jawan Jennings is another guy, big body, but he ran some really good routes too. So those are just a few names. I wanted to kind of unload my mental notebook so you could get a gist for some of the things I saw. We're going to get into it a lot more as we work throughout the draft season. And as I said, we have plenty of guests. This is what we do, folks. This is what we do. 4 out of the 6 guys that were drafted by the Titans last year were where? Right here on Talking with TD. We're going to bring you more, so stay tuned. We'll go to a break, and we're going to bring out the special prize guest of the show, Henry Ruggs III. Stay tuned, folks.
This is J.M. Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
Say peace to cats who rock Mac knowledge, knowledges, street astrologists, light up the mic, God, knowledge.
So you hear that music, Daytona 500. I play that because speed kills, right? And this next guest, he has all of the speed that you want. Henry Ruggs III. Henry, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm chilling. To be somebody that runs so fast, you come across as awfully calm and reserved, man.
Yeah, you know, you can't always be at top speed. Sometimes you gotta cool down.
Yeah, a cool cat just like Heathcliff. So I want to just kind of get into you as a prospect, because one of the things that's always interesting to me, when you have a guy that runs fast, and I mean, we talk about your what they timed you at Alabama's junior pro day, 4.25. Obviously, speed is always going to be the first thing that's mentioned. But how important to you is it to establish the fact that you're more than just a burner?
I mean, speed is always going to be the first thing that comes up, but I'd rather not be known for, you know, just my speed. I want to be one of the most complete prospects and complete receivers in the game.
What is it that makes you a complete prospect and a complete receiver, though?
Most of it is attention to detail. I mean, take coaching, you know, take criticism, and you just take it and apply it. You know, gotta be willing to, you know, accept the things that you do wrong and just better them.
I'll tell you this, if I was your OC, I would line you up over top of the numbers, motion you, and run slants all day and try to get the ball to you and let you get yards after the catch. What is it that allows you, like, because one of the things I notice is there isn't really a transition as far as, like, catching the football and then taking a second to convert to a running back to get those yards after the catch. Where does that come from?
Just a mentality. I mean, I come from, you know, I played at Alabama. That's a physical running, you know, running program. We're based off,
running back. So, I mean, I just kind of took that mentality and, you know, wanted to be a hard-nosed runner once the ball is in my hand. So once you get there, I was taught the end zone doesn't move. The best way to get there is north and south. So, you know, you'll probably make a dude miss open field, but, you know, other than that, I'm running with a full head of steam forward.
What's your favorite route to run?
Other than that, I would just say the one that gives me the ball the fastest. So, I mean, if it's a screen, if it's a slant, you know, just like you just said, put the ball in my hands and I'll do the rest.
And then the other thing I noticed, the jet sweep, that's something else that you could be used on. Is that just a part of like another way to showcase you as a ball carrier itself?
Yeah, that is. And then most of the time, you know, it's coming out of motion. So, you know, I'm getting a running start, so it doesn't take too much time to build up speed. I'm already, you know, have a full head of steam heading towards the sideline. Now I just got to turn up and, like I said, get north and south.
That's one of the things that the Chiefs always use with Tyreek Hill. But like you, Tyreek Hill is more, as we talked about, more than just a speed guy. He attacks the football, right? And he's actually, despite his size, very good at making contested catches. How are you from that standpoint? Like, what's your approach to making that contested catch?
I mean, the ball is mine. It once it's in the air, it's coming to me, so it belongs to me. So my mentality is, I mean, if I see it, go get it. It's not to come down with nobody but me.
I like that as well. Another part of being a complete player is special teams, right? And it's funny, and looking at some of the things that were written about you, your breakthrough in football, like you're getting into football, Coach Hudson tricked you and told you were just going to be a returner. What level of importance does special teams have for you, and what's the mindset as a kick returner?
I mean, special teams plays a big role in the game. I mean, it's something that could change the game in an instant. I mean, you can be, you know, down in a game and a big special teams play can, you know, completely shift the momentum of the game. And I feel like it takes a complete team player to, you know, go out there and give it all on special teams and not save for offense or save for defense. So, I mean, I pride myself on being, once again, the most complete player I can and doing whatever I have to do to help the team. And when I'm back in return, I'm just looking to be that spark for the offense.
What would you say is the biggest difference between kick return and punt return? Because I know they're two different approaches.
I mean, kick return, you kind of can see everything. Most of the time, the ball is not, you know, skying as high, so you kind of have a visual of, you know, the things that are coming in front of you. With punt, you kind of have to feel it out a little more. Because you kind of blinded once the ball is in the air.
Yeah.
Especially with the punters these days having incredible hang time. So you kind of have to feel it and know when to shut it down or when to make a play for your team.
I think the ball skills that it takes to return punts are severely underrated. Because it's like you're looking at the coverage, then you look up at the ball. You look at the coverage, you look up at the ball, and then you get that last freeze shot of the coverage, and you got to look up at the ball, and it's like if there's a guy bearing down on you, you got to be focused on that football and catch it. That's a tough job to do. So I salute any of you guys that do that. One of the things I also want to talk about is just, as you mentioned, you want to be a complete football player, but a guy who's ascending the way you are, you never settle, right? You never feel like you're at that point where you don't have to improve. So if I were to ask you, or if I was a GM, and I say, hey, Henry, what areas can you get better? What would your feedback be?
Honestly, everything. I mean, there's always room to improve. Nothing is ever perfect. So you work to be, you know, as close to perfect as you can. But, I mean, the first thing I'll say is, of course, you know, my route running and just creating more space. But, I mean, with that still comes, you know, sometimes you're not going to always create the most space because, you know, it's other athletes on the other side of the ball, too, that you have to compete against. So you got to work on your contested catches for those moments. You got to work on, you know, getting the space where you can and, you know, and even the run after catch.
your speed is clearly your top asset. You do have others. Let's not get that mistaken. But when you go to the next level, you're going to be hit with a new playbook. You're going to be hit with not only that playbook, but making reads on the fly as coverages adjust. A lot of times with speed guys, that adjustment is difficult and they're not able to exhibit their speed as quickly. What do you feel will allow you to be able to showcase right from the jump that, look, man, I'm fast, I could adjust, and I can make plays right from the start?
Honestly, just taking time off the field. I mean, you can't just want to be the best when you're in between the lines. You got to focus on, you know, the small details even when you're not in between the lines. You know, so, you know, off the field, you know, when you're going home, you got to watch film, study tape, study the playbook, and just, you know, as you get more comfortable with things, the game slows itself down. So that'll make me feel even faster.
Your brother, Kevontae, he said that if you put two guys in a room, one that's working and then one that's working with a purpose, the one that's working with a purpose will always win. Obviously, ESPN, we did an awesome story about you, and it's been written, you know, and documented. But why is Rod Scott, why is his memory your purpose?
I mean, it's mostly because he was the one that kind of helped me instill that work ethic that, you know, you can always be better. I mean, that's when I had the mindset that I was a basketball player in high school, and he kind of just took me under his wing. I mean, first of all, everybody said we was brothers, so, you know, that ain't do nothing but draw us, you know, even closer to each other. But, you know, going to the gym 4 or 5 times a day, you know, outside of the time we had to be in the gym for practice, you know, staying in the gym late at night, 1, 2 in the morning, waking up 4 or 5 in the morning before school, you know, and just that work ethic is something that's going to always stick with me. And he even believed in me when I was, you know, when I felt I was a basketball player. He told me that I could, you know, I could be somebody that, you know, that made it, you know, far in football. And once I tried it, I mean, he was my number one fan, and he believed in me even when I didn't believe in myself.
It's crazy when someone sees something in you that you don't even see in yourself, right? And then that went into your decision to go to Alabama, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's an awesome story, man. It really is. And when you get drafted, okay, let's say it's April whenever, and the card is turned in, and they say with the number one pick, whoever selects Henry Ruggs III, if you had an opportunity to say something to Rod, what would you say to him?
Honestly, I ask him what was it that he saw. I mean, that's my biggest question to this day is how did he see that before I did?
And he definitely saw it. He definitely saw it. And again, getting back to you guys were you know, brothers, basketball brothers. You played that a lot. Obviously, that was kind of your first sport right before football. Are you able to pull different things from basketball and incorporate that into your game as far as football is concerned?
I mean, yeah, of course, you know, when you're playing at the line of scrimmage, you know, you try not to take too much time, but, you know, everybody wants to be the basketball player, have that killer crossover. So you try to incorporate that crossover into your releases just to, you know, get more fluid movement and create space at the line of scrimmage to get into your routes.
Who was the toughest corner that you went against? Outside of Trayvon Diggs.
Of course. I mean, Diggs, we went against each other every day, and he just kind of learned me, and I learned him. So, you know, that was a tough matchup every day at practice. But I'll probably say I like Baker from Georgia. That was a tough matchup in that game, in that Georgia game, in the SEC championship.
So let's say once you're in the league, right, who are you most looking forward to going against? What corner?
I mean, I can't single out one guy. I mean, I'm excited for any matchup. I'm a competitor, so whoever lines up, you know, I gotta going to give them my best, and I'm sure they're going to give me theirs.
Okay, so we'll go a little Bama on Bama crime, okay? I'm going to go with Marlon Humphrey, right? You go to a team that's playing the Ravens. It's third and seven. We're going to role play a little bit. It's third and seven. You are actually going to be used in the slot on this time. So you break the huddle. It's third and seven. You go to the slot. Marlon Humphrey is waiting for you to determine what side you go to. You go to the right side. He lines up just over top of your outside shoulder. It's third and seven. You guys are in, what we'll say, all right, we'll make you number three. We'll go trips. We'll make you number three. So third and seven, you're number three. How are you working Marlon Humphrey?
I mean, that depending on the, you know, the route concept and, you know, and also the coverage. I mean, if he has help on the inside, but if he's sitting outside, of course he's going to have help somewhere on the inside because that's where he's trying to force you to go. But, of course, I mean, if I'm going to break inside, I'm going to have to, you know, flatten it out and be aggressive back towards the ball. And, I mean, once I come out and line up, I mean, I'll just look him in the eye and just let him know that, you know, once again, he's going to get my best display.
I like that. I like that. Last question. Three best games, or let's go two best games, if someone really wants to know what you bring to the to their team. What are the two best games that you would suggest?
South Carolina. That's one game I like. And from this year, I mean, I like Auburn game. That's a game that I was, you know, showing that I was a true competitor.
There it is. Henry Ruggs III, a complete receiver. As we say, size is not a skill. Henry is an excellent example of that because, like you say, he brings the whole thing to the table. Henry, I appreciate you coming on and keep getting that work in with Riedel, man, and Yo Murphy. It's definitely going to benefit you, and I look forward to seeing you run that 4.2 whatever at the combine.
I appreciate it.
All right, man.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
A little soul, that smooth music. Talking with TD, back from the break. Got that Mason, MJG, you know what I'm saying? No one expected the unexpected. But one thing you could expect from us is high-quality draft content. High-quality content, period. You know what I'm saying? So appreciate each of you for tuning in. We are going to wrap this thing up. A couple names that I did overlook as I browsed through the Senior Bowl roster. Joshua Kelly, we're going to have him on. Running back from UCLA, had an outstanding game. I think he would be a guy that fits well. Kind of gives me Arian Foster vibes as far as his ability to cut and get upfield and just read that cutback lane and get through it. So definitely going to get him in here. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Jalen Hurts. He's someone that I know a lot of people have the questions about his quarterbacking ability overall, but I think he's someone that can definitely work in the scheme that the Titans use with all the play action heavy, the shots down the field. That's something that, man, he did that down in Mobile. He was taking shots. Now, obviously, everyone says that Justin Herbert was more consistent, and you know what? I'll give you that. But no risk it, no biscuit, right? Isn't that what's old boy Bruce Arians? Isn't that what he says? And that's something that, you know, you saw Jalen Hurts do during 7-on-7, during team periods where you should take those shots. So definitely want to mention Jalen Hurts. He's a guy that I know some people have a first-round grade on, some people have a second, some people have as low as a fourth-round grade. Very polarizing prospect. I will say this. I made the connections. I talked to his agent, Nicole Lynn. We will see if we can have Jalen Hurts on here. That really was the guy I wanted to leave the Senior Bowl with a definite connection to. I got to talk to him a little bit on Tuesday after his presser. And even during his presser, I asked him about the adversity that he dealt with. I asked him if he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He said he plays with a boulder. I like that. So we'll see what happens, you know, as we continue to work through the season. But one thing that Calvin and I can promise you, you're going to have buku, as my man Emery Hunt would say, buku guests. For those that don't understand, that means a lot of guests. We're going to have the sleeper series. We're going to bring that back. I have all positions. If there's a prospect that you want me to go after and have on the show, please, at @TDavenport_NFL, definitely reach out. My DMs are open. Sliding them with respect, please, and thank you. But before we finish the show, hey, look, man, it doesn't stop for one pony. Let me get that music, please.
Blow the whistle.
Been a little bit since we blew the whistle. I'm fresh off the Senior Bowl, so I got to blow the whistle because I talked all that talk about Jalen Hurts, right? I said everything about him. I'm blowing the whistle on the starting left tackle. I'm not going to say his name because I'm not, you know, in the business of calling people out, but I'm blowing the whistle on the starting left tackle for the South team. Why? Because there's an 800 number that he needs to call because he got violated. Bradley and I, Josh Uche, they refused to be blocked, and they did not allow Jalen Hurts to showcase himself as a passer for most of the time that he was in there. I'm blowing the whistle on the starting left tackle. You cheated us of an opportunity to see Jalen Hurts make plays in front of the Alabama crowd. However, I'm issuing a challenge flag to you to get better and continue to work through the draft season and be a solid pro, because I believe you will be. That's the show, folks. Be sure to continue as we go through the draft season. This is what we do, man. This is what we do. Like I said, the show doesn't stop for one pony. Even if that pony is the games on Sunday, Thursday, Monday. I'm Teron Davenport for Calvin Smith. Shout out to Henry Ruggs III and Redale Anthony for coming on. Stay tuned next week for more guests. Thank each of you for tuning in. God bless. Good night.